Why should I feel discouraged? Oh, I feel like singing that tonight. Why do the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Oh, I sing because I'm happy. Anybody feel that way tonight? Oh, I sing because I'm free. Oh, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches. Can I sing it one more time? I sing because I'm happy. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, I sing because I'm free. I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. Somebody help me praise Him right now. Jesus, you're wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God.
If you have your Bibles tonight and you don't mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. I want to pass on something that I hope helps you in this world in which we live in today. There's a reason why the Scripture says to get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding helps us live for God better. There are verses that talk about the eyes of our understanding being opened. And it was made mention the other night about the Lord opening up their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, Luke 24. Everything changes when our understanding is open, because we see stuff. We open a word, that becomes alive. We're not trying to figure anything out. It's God that touches our ability to comprehend spiritual things and causes us to see stuff that we can't see with our glasses. We can't see with our normal intellect. It takes the influence of the Spirit of God to mess with our thinking and reveal stuff to us and cause us to be able to, in the way that our own human minds work, to be able to see something. Your mind works the way your mind works, but God knows how to work in your mind. Praise the Lord, and cause you to see, and cause me to see. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning of verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000 people. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, that, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." See, we've been in the end of the world for a long while. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Let me read that verse one more time. "Wherefore, let him that thinks he's all right pay attention, lest he falls." Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Praise God. Lord, we need your help, your divine help and intervention. God, in a world where, God, we're just busy, all sorts of chaos, but we're asking for some time of peace, some time of enlightenment and understanding, and help us to grow tonight in grace and in knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give him a good offering of praise here tonight. Praise God. Let's give a little more effort together. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm going to read some verses of Scripture for you to set a little bit more of the tone here concerning this cloud. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud." Every word has a meaning. All of them were under the cloud. There are times when people come among us and they express willfully of their own free accord that they've had problems with authority and taking instruction and all of that, and they admitted that in their own confession. So I'm not saying anything that should make anybody uncomfortable. I was invited to be as bold as they, so I will be as bold as they. But if you're going to be saved, we're going to have to learn to be under. Maybe not under man's thumb, no. Under some carnal person's thumb, no. But we're going to have to learn to be under that cloud. Praise the Lord. And we're going to have to learn to be submissive. And I don't care if you're a man or a woman in the 21st century and you have a problem with submission and you have all sorts of phobic issues in life, as many people seemingly in our day have, with men not wanting to submit and women not wanting to submit to men, and have all this authority problem and issues and all of these disorders in their life. I say to anybody that's converted, anybody that wants to be saved, anybody that loves God, submit yourself. Hallelujah, under the mighty hand of God. Make sure God finds you under his cloud. And not out there, not under the cloud with some dumb attitude that's going to take you to the fires of hell. I want to be under his cloud. I get to live right, Brother Rick, when I'm under his cloud. I get to be free to worship God when I'm under that cloud. I get to be guided when I'm under that cloud. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I'm going to read my smartphone in smaller print. I just want a list of scriptures just to read them to you, and I'll name them. You're welcome to try to turn if you want, but here it goes. Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And it came to pass that in the morning watched the Lord. Well, that's another verse. I'll skip that one. That's when the Lord looked through. Well, I'll read that because there's some good thoughts in that too. Then in the morning watched the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Now that's Exodus 14, when they're leaving the wilderness, and they're about, and they're crossing the Red Sea, being led by the cloud. There's so much in this. The cloud's not afraid to lead you through miraculous circumstances. You might be afraid to be led into them, but he's not afraid to lead you into them. The question is, can you follow them? Wasn't it Paul that said, be your followers of God as dear children? Amen. We've got to learn not only to be under the cloud, we have to learn to be led by the cloud. For as many as are led by the cloud or the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Not those who just show up to church and say, I'm a Christian, but you can't be led because you're as stubborn as a mule. And you got your backside sitting on the ground and somebody tugging at the muzzle and you just won't move. God ain't pleased with an attitude like that. Praise the Lord. And it's best that you don't have one. It's best that that should never even be in your home in any way for any reason. Definitely not before the Lord. Another point real quick I'll say so I don't forget it while I'm focusing on something I want to bring you to, which is very, very just, it's what spawned this whole message about our life and our walk with God and the time that we're in. But the Lord looked through the pillar of fire and troubled the enemy. Hallelujah. He looked through that element that he was guiding them, leading them with, and he troubled the enemy. Be careful you don't try to trouble your own enemy. Let the Lord look through and trouble them for you. Praise the Lord. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You just follow, you let him trouble. Isn't that right? Some of you think you have what it takes to trouble, and God's saying you're going to get into trouble if you trouble. It's best that you let me trouble. You just follow me because I can do stuff you can't do. Oh, hallelujah. Can you part a Red Sea? No, you can't. So you just follow the one who can. And if somebody's following you into your miracle, I'll take care of it. Isn't that right? Just there to say. Praise the Lord. It's just good stuff to help us live right and to cool our jets when our jets get overheated. Isn't that right? See, we're supposed to pray. Right? Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Right. So while we're focusing on him arising, he's focusing on scattering. Isn't that right? Okay. I'll go on. Numbers 14 says, and they will tell it. He's praying. Nehemiah is praying. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that you, Lord, are among his people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them. And that you go before them by time and by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Praise the Lord. They know the people of God. He makes you known. Nehemiah, praise the Lord. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's why we need to be led. Even in our prayer life, we need to be led. When you go to prayer and you don't know what to say, but you know you need to be there, the best thing you can do is just say, Lord, lead the way. I'm going to praise you for a while. There's lots of stuff I feel to say, but instead of wasting a whole lot of time trying to discover where my prayer really is, I'm just going to praise a while, and I'm going to look for your cloud. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm going to look for the fire by night and the cloud by day. I'm just going to look to be led. I don't know what to say tonight. I've gone to church and I'm kind of tired. I've had a long day and I'd rather be married to my pillow right now. Praise the Lord. But I'm here right now and I'm asking you to lead me from a tired body, to lead me from a tired mind, and lead me, oh God, to where you want me to go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, when the scripture says in Matthew 6, I believe it is, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Praise the Lord. God knows what we have need of. And we don't know sometimes the real need we really have. Because we pray puddle depth prayers sometimes. But God has an ocean type of prayer that he wants us to pray. And he wants to submerse us, praise God, so that we go below and we stop staying where it's safe. And we go into that which takes us beyond ourselves and produces a worship and a praise and a time of edification we would not get to if we did not allow ourselves to focus on that cloud. Thank you, Jesus. It is written in the word of the Lord that when the cloud was descended upon the tabernacle in the wilderness, I'll give a backstory in a minute, that all the people arose, the scripture says, went to the door of their tent and worshiped. Praise God. They paid attention to the fact that that cloud was there by day and that cloud was there by night. It would descend to the door as Moses walked in and would talk with the Lord. And it was such a reverential experience that they went to the tent door and they reverenced God and they worshiped the Lord and they raised their hands towards that tabernacle. Praise God. I think it would be a horrible thing if we lost sight of that cloud, if we got so familiar to it that we wouldn't come to the door of our tent and worship the Lord. It's just another church service, praise God. It's just another week. It's just another Sunday. Oh God, oh God, oh God. I don't want to get used to the cloud by day. I don't want to get used to that fire by night. I want to recognize there's something supernatural there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You lose sight of that, you become an idolater, a fornicator, a murmurer. Somebody doesn't want to be under. Having a hard time submitting. Praise God. All these question authority wackos. Hallelujah. Man, I feel so good. Amen. It's one of those messages, preach anywhere, and it'll end up with the cloud, Brother Rick. Praise God. Isn't that right, Sister Judy? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But there's so many wonderful things, and there's a thought. I want to try to get to it. Well, let me just, for some that don't know the story, everyone's pretty much heard of the children of Israel being rescued and delivered by the hand of God through Moses out of Egypt. And that great miracle. And they saw the cloud and the pillar of fire when they had come out of Egypt and went that 3 days journey into the wilderness. And then Pharaoh's heart was hardened by the Lord because he was an unbelieving heathen anyhow. And the Lord was going to get honor upon him and his chariots and his army. And they pursued after the people of God. And the Lord had opened up the Red Sea and led them. And they followed. And that's why this man of God, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10, he's creating a relationship to us of that event. And they were led through the Red Sea. And as the Egyptians followed after, God smote the wheels of their chariots that they fell off. He trapped them in that sea. That's why I'm saying to all of us, you can't get honor upon your enemies like God can. So if you got people hunting you and you got trouble, leave it in God's hands. He knows what to do with it. You just follow the cloud. And you just worship God. I don't care how much stuff wants to rise up against you. Though a host should rise against me. Isn't that what the scripture says? In this will I be confident. Isn't that, come on, some of you love that Psalm 27, praise the Lord. That's what it's saying. Though they follow, though I feel jeopardy, praise God, I will not fear, I'm following the cloud. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, you can't stop my cloud. Hallelujah, praise God. And he closed the sea on them. Can you do that? Hallelujah. And so they begin to wander in the wilderness, and then the scripture says that after a certain set time, Moses was to call 12 men, one out of each tribe, and send them into the land of Canaan, praise God, and to scout out the land. And you know the story, but if you don't, for some that don't, after 40 days, they came back, and 12 men came back, and Moses waited for the response, and you had 10 people who brought back an evil report, fear and unbelief. And then you got the two saved people, Joshua and Caleb, who are having a revival. Because when they went out to look at the land, their mindset was, I'm going to look at my land. I'm going to look at the promise of God. I'm going following the cloud. Amen. He's going before us. That cloud has promised us. This is ours, and I'm scouting what's mine. They went out there and looked through eyes of fear and doubt and unbelief, and we can't. So the end result was God said, fine, for each day that you spent scouting the land, you're going to wander in this wilderness for 40 years, a year for a day, until all of you unbelievers die. So he made them to wander. Why did they wander for 40 years? Because he was determined that these unbelievers, these fearful and unbelieving, would not partake of the land flowing with milk and honey. It's important to believe God. It's just as much important to believe God as it has ever been. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't you ever fall after the example of unbelief as they did. Because the Word of God says, you'll fall like they fell. And we will not see glory. We will not appear with Him in glory if we find ourselves fearful and unbelieving and hard-hearted and not under the cloud. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't want that, do you? Am I going too fast for anybody? Praise God. And so, I'm getting closer to something that hit me while meditating upon this in prayer some time ago. So they wandered, and it wasn't the generation that was going to inherit it that had the issue. It was God that said, this generation is going to die, and then your children will inherit the land. So they suffered a consequence of their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Look, Jesus said it like this, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In John chapter 3, Jesus testified that those that do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son are condemned already. It's important that we believe God. And when we stress things like water baptism in his name and you don't believe it, you're in trouble with God. I'll say that as candidly as I can. You're in trouble with God. He does not like the fact that you do not believe in his name, that you do not believe in the remission of sins, that he went through the trouble of providing for you, shed blood in his name to remit your sins. He takes it personal when you don't believe in that and you reject that. You reject that, God will reject you. I don't care how saved you think you are. None of us are saved if we're not buried by baptism into death with him. Praise the Lord. I don't care what the quacks teach you. I don't care if they've got degrees hanging on their walls, how many years they've spent studying the Word of God, when they teach you that you don't need to believe God and obey God and follow that cloud, they're accursed. Okay, that's about as strong as I'll get. But anyways, they were there in the wilderness for 40 years for this reason. God wandered them to drop them and then take those that were alive after 40 years, bring them into the promised land. Now let me say this before I go on here and finish some of this. There's so much to say. Praise God. We live in a world today, and this passage is expressing this. Our life in Christ today is like a wilderness. This world that we're living in, our life in it is like our own wilderness. And this scripture here is what I want to express to you. Don't be overthrown in your wilderness. Now, we're not going through this because we're unbelievers, but we often think, well, why? Why hasn't he ended it yet? And we could be right. Yeah, there's one more soul that needs to be saved, but that's not the whole story. God's got this thing on his own timeline, regardless of what we think about it, what our hypotheses are about it. No man knows the day nor the hour, and all the powers that are in the heavenly, he knows it all. We can speculate maybe in some of it, or maybe a lot of it. We can have understanding that comes from God as he shows us, as seeing through a glass darkly, things to come, which he allows us to see. So I'll say this one thing to you. Knowing that, as Peter said, I believe it's 1 Peter 3, that the long-suffering of God is salvation to us, not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance, which first includes us. God doesn't want us lost. So his long-suffering is to us who believe and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Though we haven't seen him, he enjoys the fact we believe. Praise the Lord. That's why we receive the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance to speak. Praise God, because we believed. And to them that believe, we should receive the Holy Ghost. Not an option. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You shouldn't be fighting something. It's a gift. I don't fight gifts, do you? They might want to put us away in a little round room, wrap us in a coat, you know. Praise God. But in this world that we live in this wilderness, there was this something that just kind of hit me kind of like a ton of bricks. I would hate to think that, how do I say this just right? Hebrews 12 talks about the one who can shake his own kingdom is Jesus Christ. And he shakes the kingdom that those things which can be shaken can be shaken, so that those things which remain will remain after he's done shaking. I would hate to think that in this life, in this time frame where the kingdom of God is that while he's saving some, he's shaking out others. Amen. Praise the Lord. That he's shaking out the unbelievers. If the unbeliever departs, let him depart. Amen. I mean, it's kind of said like this in Revelation, let him that is righteous be righteous still. And him that is unrighteous be unrighteous. It's kind of like, if you know to do good, do good. God knows how to clean up. God knows how to make sure that what he takes up is going up. And what he's not taking up is not going up. I just say to all of us, make sure you're not overthrown in your wilderness. Make sure you're following the cloud. You're following the fire. Praise the Lord. Like Pastor testified of his dreams, stay with the fire. I'm saying with you tonight, maybe this is a good title for this message, stay with the fire. No matter what happens, no matter what Pharaoh and his army is doing, praise the Lord, no matter what the idolaters are doing, the fornicators are doing, the murmurers are doing, the disobedient are doing, those who rise up against the ministry are doing, you stay with the fire. Because Jesus is coming. And he's going to wrap this all up, make sure he finds you doing what you're supposed to be doing, and make sure you're not being overthrown by God. Oh, let's love him again. Let's love him again. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You understand what I'm trying to say tonight? It's not about sin overthrowing you or your own acts of disobedience, but it's because of you and what you or I could do. It's God that overthrows. They were overthrown by God. The same God that'll save you is the same God that'll overthrow you. So keep yourself, as is written in Jude, verse 20, I believe it is, keep yourself in the love of God. It's like saying, keep yourself on Daddy's good side. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Keep yourself in Daddy's favor. Praise the Lord. Just love God with all your heart and keep it simple. Oh, if I could just express this for the rest of my life to a bunch of people in this world who live so overthought, amen, who complicate everything, keep it simple. Love God. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Follow that cloud. Stay with that fire. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Don't turn to the right hand. Don't turn to the left. Make sure there's no variableness nor shadow of turning in us. Praise the Lord. As it is written here, that there's no temptation taking us such as common to man. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10. But God is faithful. Praise God. Don't give God a bunch of nonsense that, oh, it's too hard and it's tough out here. No, it's not. Way of a transgressor is hard, but those that want to live for God, praise the Lord. We have a way of escape. Something wants to overthrow us, and it's not the Lord, it's something else. God just says, follow me. Follow me, praise God. Crucify yourself and follow me. You'll be all right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's not rise up and play and worship the golden calf and give our flesh a holiday. Because while we're on holiday, he may show up. And then we'll have plenty of time in eternal damnation to have our holiday. But it's not going to be one. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen? See, it's not about worrying about whether Korah and the sons of Korah are following God in the wilderness and doing the right thing. It's not about wondering whether or not Moses is doing the right thing for Miriam, his sister. You know, her and Aaron just kind of got a little unhappy with old Mo and said, you know, you're kind of an old man and you took yourself an Ethiopian wife. We're not quite happy about that. And the Lord descended in the cloud. Same cloud that can bless you is the same one that can rebuke you. And he called Miriam and Aaron forward and smote Miriam, an old woman. She wasn't a little young lady skipping and hopping like a young deer. She was an old, today's language, she'd be an elderly lady. Maybe even in a nursing home. God smote her with leprosy. So now you, next time you open up your mouth, you say something nice about your bro. Put her outside the camp of Israel for a whole week. And said, the camp ain't moving until the week's over. I've given her 7 days to think about what she has done. Is God serious? Oh, yeah, he hasn't changed. Now, Calvary didn't make him limp-wristed. Make him a condoner of everything under the sun. You know, we spot some of these videos where people are now just sort of softening up towards these new movements of people wanting their lifestyles to be accepted. And we're not against them. We'll preach the gospel to anybody in any letter of the alphabet. We'll preach the gospel to every one of them in love, to love them out of their darkness, because we don't want them dying lost forever. I don't care how gay they are. We don't want them dying lost. God doesn't even have the pleasure of a soul dying without him, no matter what they are. But that all come to repentance. See that word all, not just all you nice people. Preach the gospel to every. All the disgusting people like you once were and I once was. We all have a right, amen, to be saved and to follow that cloud. Amen. I'm not yelling too loud. I'm not breaking anybody's eardrums here. All right. Not yet. Thank you. Praise God. But see, the Red Sea parted for all of them. And spiritually speaking, Jesus Christ has parted the way for all of us, but not just us. And it's easy for us. I believe I'm in a soul-winning church. I do. I believe that with all of my heart. I think we're a little rusty, but I think we're a soul-winning church at heart. And I think we have to just be reminded that the sea is open for them too. We know that. But we're going to have to get used to the idea of some freak shows showing up among us that are going to be converted that you'll love one day. Praise God. You might be a little apprehensive about them now, but if you can have vision about them like God had vision for you, they might actually get converted. And we already know every time somebody comes here, they feel loved. They feel accepted. They feel like this is the place to be. And that's because we're all following that pillar. Praise God, because we're staying with the fire, because we've refused to dry up, we refuse to go cold, we refuse to be another Pentecostal church with no power. We got the look, but we don't have the substance. I don't want that. I want the look, but I want the power too. Hallelujah. Am I right? All right. I'm trying here. Praise God. But to finish the thought here about being overthrown in the wilderness, it kind of just expanded my thinking about what God is doing in our wilderness of life and what his hand is doing, regardless of what everybody speculates he's doing, you know, and all the carnal thinkers. So many scripture that disprove all of the prophecy ideas and things that people keep predicting. Jesus warned us about going out and just trying to predict the weather. If you'd spend more time teaching people how to live right, I think that's better. Don't neglect spiritual things and being aware of things and being aware of what's happening in the world. You know, don't be blind. Be aware, because, yes, you'll look at things and it'll be a reminder that, you know, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But then we have to revert back to whether it is or not, what do I need to do now? I need to make sure he don't overthrow me. That I don't say the Lord delays his coming and I go play for a while, thinking I've got time. See, that's what some are gambling with. And they come back and forth into Norwich Tabernacle, and then they think, well, I got time. And every time they go out, they get worse, become more deceived, more blind, and they don't realize that's what's happening. And then they never come back. And then they end up killing themselves. Or something else happens, or they die of a disease, and they never make it back. Don't play games with God. Follow that cloud. It's that serious. Praise God. All right, let me look at my size 10 font here. See if I have missed any scripture. There is a passage I'd like to read real quick, if you just give me another minute, and then we'll sing and have a revival and go home. Numbers 9. Let's read. There's something in Numbers 9, verse 15, and then I'm going to finish here in 1 Corinthians 10. Praise God. See, I'm accountable. I'm accountable to the salvation that I am under. I am under this. See, the world says, oh, do you have rules in your church? I could just look around. I see there's got to be rules, you know. Look at how you dress and what you guys do. And they just size it up, and they just assume that pulpit preacher, you know, controlling your lives, freak show, after your money, and, you know, you're a cult group, and everybody looks Amish, and it's got to be a rule. Isn't it amazing that those who live by a rule of sin and are under taskmasters accuse us of being under taskmasters? We are under something. You're right. And there is a rule. It's called the peace of God. Shall rule in your hearts. The peace that passes all understanding. If I got to be under something, I want peace. I want to be under peace. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Give I unto you. Hallelujah. We're under something. It's pretty awesome, too. You ought to get under this umbrella. Because when fire and brimstone falls, it won't hit you. Because this umbrella will block it. Praise God. When he's destroying the world again with fire and brimstone like he did Sodom and Gomorrah, you will not be destroyed with it. You'll be delivered from it. Whenever he does it, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Numbers 9, I'm having a good time. Forgive me. But it's the truth. I'm just trying to pass on truth to us that'll help us live for God better. Some may say, well, you know, you need to give us meat, you know, crying out for that quail. Had it better in Egypt, eating fish every day. Well, God blew in quail that was 3 feet high from one end of the beach to the other. And when they had it in their teeth, he killed them because they lusted after flesh. This was in the wilderness when they were tired of that hidden manna. I'm tired of hearing Acts 2:38. It's all you preach. It's all you people talk about. It's baptism in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. Did you preach anything else? Yeah. What about all this end-time prophecy stuff? What about the world? Don't you preach that stuff? No, we don't preach quail. We preach manna. Amen. We preach stuff that's on the dew sent by the pillar. Whenever the pillar feeds us, we eat what the pillar gives us. Praise the Lord. We're not wanting Egyptian food. We want the heavenly. Tastes sweet like honey. Satisfying to the soul. Isn't that right? I don't want to hear a bunch of baloney preaching and teaching from people who are not even converted. Teaching us stuff that they don't understand. Getting our minds on stuff that makes no difference to our day at the end of the day, other than they're blowing smoke about how knowledge they are about nothing. So why should I waste my time listening to people who know a lot about nothing when I can just sit at the feet of Jesus and learn about everything? Hallelujah. 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 And at the end of the day, be holy and be righteous and be pure and be under the cloud of peace and hope and holiness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Escaping the world and myself. You're not taking you to glory, mortally speaking. You're leaving that behind. Hallelujah. You're dealing with a carcass quickened by the Holy Ghost, quickened by the pillar of fire. Quickened. We are dead and we are quickened. We are made alive. We are made to be able to live for God in a human body. A treasure, an earthen vessel. Isn't that so powerful? I tell you, it's powerful. They physically saw a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. But in this world that we live in today, we got that cloud in our soul. We got that cloudy pillar in our soul. I bow my knee in prayer with a cloudy pillar in my soul, leading me in the way that I should go. Praise God. Don't you get it? He said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. So the only way to get this thing right in your life is if I get inside you and become one with you. That's powerful. That the God who would only speak through a cloud to Moses is the God that now dwells in us by faith. I mean, he got close to us. But Calvary is sort of that cloud in that resurrection. Try to understand that. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's always, read it, chew on this a little bit. For if any man be in the cloud, he's a new creature. Hallelujah. Because he always speaks through something. So God dwells in a light that no man can approach unto, nor no man has seen. But through Christ, we can enter into. And because of the shed blood, and because we're still people, we're able to be one with God. And we're able to draw near to a holy God. Only God can do that. See how special your great salvation is? Don't let some stupid, dumb thing overthrow you in this wilderness. Praise God. Our life is a wilderness that we're wandering through. Praise God. I'm going to read. Oh, I got to hurry. Because I want to read a verse in Hebrews 11 that's so powerful. There's a word there that is pretty awesome. Or 1 Peter, rather, chapter 1. But let me just read Numbers 9 and 15 says, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And the scripture says, watch, so it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Let me say something to you that I hope will help you when you feel like somehow the pillar isn't there. Jesus said, lo, I am with you. So it was always. When they woke up in the morning, there wasn't going to be a time until they went into the promised land, that is. But in this 40 years, there would never be a time where they wouldn't see the cloud. Maybe they weren't paying attention to the cloud, but that cloud was there by day, and that cloud was there by night, always. You don't have to worry about God's always. Just worry about your own. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Amen. Don't worry about God's faithfulness. Worry about your own. Right. You can always count. The fire will be there. His lamp ain't going out. Glory. So make sure you don't go out. Amen. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, listen to this, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. So I'll sum it up so I can get to my verse and we can sing a little. When the cloud rose up from the tabernacle, whether by day or night, and moved, they packed up the camp, packed up the tabernacle, and they followed. And the scripture says in other verses that that cloud went out and searched out a place of rest. Praise God. They did not determine, hey, we're going over there. The cloud determined where they were going to go. The cloud, amen, it was the Lord that led them by day, and it was the Lord that led them by night in the way that they should go. Amen. Praise God. Learn to follow God. Watch. Here's the other point of this. In the wilderness, why was it that they would stay a while and then he would move and move them about? He never wanted them to get used to staying in the wilderness because it was temporary. It was not permanent. Praise the Lord. He was there to get rid of the unbelievers, not let them set up permanent residency in the wilderness. They had a promised land to inherit. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me say this again. Why do you think you go through what you go through in this life? Because he wants you to know this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where thief breaks through and steal, or moth does eat up and rust corrupts. All right. 1 Peter 1. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the point of the wilderness wandering. And it was like, I saw it. Why were they moving all the time? Why didn't they just show up in the middle of the wilderness of sin and he just left them there for 40 years and said, okay, it's time to go? No, God kept moving them to keep them from getting used to staying so that they wouldn't want to stay there and not inherit Canaan. Why do you think you have such a Holy Ghost time? Why do you think you've got this great salvation experience in your soul? And so that God can keep you from getting used to this place. Praise the Lord. All right, 1 Peter 1, I'll say it with this last verse and I'll stop. 1 Peter 1, because time's running out, I won't go back to Corinthians. Hallelujah. Anyhow. That's such an awesome song. I love that song when she sings that song. Hallelujah. Anyhow. You think some people need that song every morning instead of a cup of coffee? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Might make your coffee taste better. You might as well send your hallelujah anyhow ahead so that if it meets Esau and his 400 men, it might turn him into a friend. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. I'm in a verse somewhere here. And let me read this. Wow, that's better. Thank you, Jesus. I forget where it was. 1 Peter 1. There it is. Okay, thank you. But at verse 15, we'll start there. But as he which is holy has... But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In all manner of your life, be holy. So this isn't like some preacher, you know, yeah, you can't, you know, trying to make you walk the line and live the line. This is a God saying, I'm holy, you be holy. And by the way, here's power to be holy. That's why we say what we say when people talk about, I can't be holy. Nobody's holy. Well, they say nobody's perfect. Hey, you're right. As far as in our humanity, none of us are perfect. Well, we're not talking about that. Talking about being free from sin and be able to live free from sin. And if we mess up, we've got a holiness to return to so that we don't do it again. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, watch, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The word sojourn, he said, pass the time of your sojourning here in the fear of God. See, he used that word. Now, in Hebrews 11, it testified about Abraham and about Isaac and about Jacob that those which held to the promises of God testified that they were pilgrims and strangers in the earth, that they were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. They were saying, this world is not my home. And to church people, we have a word attached to us. We're sojourning. And sojourning means that where we are is not our permanent dwelling, we're visiting. Right. We're actually from somewhere else. When somebody from another country is sojourning, they're sojourning in America, it's because they're not from America. They're sojourning here, but there'll be a time when they go back home to their mother country. Oh, and God is saying to the church, you're sojourning here. This is not your permanent residency. You come from glory. Well, let's stand. Praise God. Let's love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm a foreigner. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, in tribulation, if you're going through it tonight, if you got concerns, rejoice in the Lord that you're a sojourner. Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And people who wanted to be, there's some wise men from the east that said, we want to be part of that. And that pillar showed up as a star. The scripture says that the star came and stood over where the young child was. That star was leading them. If you want to be led, you'll find him and he'll lead you. Praise God. He'll always lead you from where you are to where he is. He'll never leave you in Egypt. So you, I can live for God and be a sinner at the same time. Nope, wrong answer, bub. Praise God. You need to get out of where you are and come to a place that will teach you how to get out of there. Amen? Stay with that fire. That's all I've come to tell you tonight. Stay with that fire. Follow that flame. Follow that pillar. Follow God. Be led of God. Praise God. I'm telling you, things are on the horizon. God's saying, don't be overthrown in your wilderness. Hallelujah. There'll come a time when the next blink you blink will land you in glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, God's good. I'm going to stop because I feel like going. And preaching don't stop, right? Other preachers here know. Just keeps mulling over. You go home. Man, I wish I'd said that, you know. But that's the way it is. Praise God. We'll preach about it another time. But just make sure you're following God. It's that serious. It's that real. And that's why that writer, the Apostle Paul, said, look, I don't want you to be ignorant. Praise God. If we're under something, it's greater than we are. And we're under it to follow it. Hallelujah. Don't let anything stop you from following God. One more time, let's praise him together. Hallelujah.